Welcome to the International Schools Podcast, where we discuss all aspects of technology and life in international schools, with new episodes live every 2 weeks. This podcast is sponsored by Apps Events. We're a Google for Education partner and active since the launch of Google Apps for Education in 2006. We're a team of former educators and all experts in helping schools integrate Google into their schools and their classrooms. All training is customized for each school, and we make sure it has a lasting impact. Literally thousands of educators worldwide have earned their Google Educator certification with us, with our certification boot camps, and these take place every month and get your staff certified quickly. We also host Google Summits, which are fun, two-day conference-style events with concurrent sessions and keynotes delivered by experienced Google trainers, teaching on a broad range of topics using G Suite both in the classroom and in the school. Check it out over at appsevents.com, and we can bring any of these events to your school, which is an amazing way to build a Google community amongst your staff to support each other, plus to increase the profile of yourself and your school. The podcast is also brought to you by Acer for Education. People ask us what Chromebooks we recommend for schools, and after trying them all, quite literally, we always recommend Acer. We've been to Acer headquarters in Taiwan to be part of product discussions, and they're genuinely the best thought out, most cost-effective, and most importantly, durable devices out there. They're always innovating, including the first tablet running Chrome and the first convertible touchscreen Chromebook. The latest version of this is a Spin 11, which has a stylus and two cameras, and we highly, highly recommend it for schools. They, of course, have a full range of Windows laptops, and for esports fans, their Predator range is second to none. If you'd like more information, please just leave your email over at gg.gg/Acer Education. That's gg.gg/Acer Education, and we'll get right back to you. And now, on to the interview. Hello, and welcome to the International Schools Podcast. Today, I'm delighted to be welcoming John Micton back to the podcast. And also from Tech School Luxembourg, Sergio Coronado. So hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
So guys, just to give some background, I'm at home in Prague. I actually just got back from Google. I was in Mountain View for a few days, which was really good. And Sergio and John are together in the International School of Luxembourg. So all in Europe. And beautiful day. What's the weather like in Luxembourg, by the way?
Beautiful. We have sun. We don't recognize it.
Yeah. After like 40 or 50 raining days, that's kind of we hope to be out now.
Yeah, I've got a stinking cold because going from 0 degrees Prague to California with air conditioning and all the crap they've got there, then back here again, I'm just like terrible cold. But yeah, so guys, great to talk. So Sergio runs Tech School Luxembourg, which is, I'm keen to learn more about it. They've got a really interesting
Luxembourg Tech School, Dan.
Luxembourg Tech School, yeah, which is just kind of a coaching program for tech, creating future digital leaders, as they say. And they work with some schools in Luxembourg. So I'm kind of keen to find out about it, and I'm keen to get John's perspective on how it works and the challenges, and also how Sergio set it up, because we were talking beforehand, and it's a non-profit, and I know some people have contacted me about, setting up nonprofits. So I'd love to get into a bit of the logistics of how you can do that.
Yeah. So, well, first you need to have an idea that have a potential to work and solve a problem. So we started by thinking that we needed to get more people in technology. And one of the big gap we saw in Luxembourg is actually in the European level is that the students don't learn tech practically on the school. And more important for us, it's not just tech for tech. It's not about coding. It's about solving problems with technology. So then we decided to try to do it and approach the government in Luxembourg, mentioned to them briefly that there was no tech in the lycées, in the high school, and that something had to be done. And they recognized, yes, you're right, can you do it? And we say, yes, we can do it. And basically we, as a nonprofit, we asked them to support us financially.
Great. Well, I want to take a step back, Sergio. So first of all, I don't know much about you. What is your background? I think you were working for a university. What was your background before this all happened?
Well, I have been always running two careers in parallel. Let's say one career in the business or industry. So I work for different sectors, banking, sport education, sport systems, education, government. So I work for NATO as we speak. and so on. But in parallel, I also have an academic career from Spain to here in the University of Luxembourg. So always attached to education with a clear focus of learning.
So how does that work in practice? So that's kind of interesting. Like how, so you managed to get a situation where you had a full-time job and also they allowed you to like so many hours or so many days a week to work at a university. Is that how it works kind of practically?
No. It's on top. So I have to take vacations, free days, weekends, nights, and family time basically to make the Luxembourg Tech School happen.
Okay, so, but you mentioned working for the university in Luxembourg. Is that just on a kind of research base then? Is that how that works?
Well, it's teaching, so it's primarily delivering courses in project management. So that is part of the education activity, which then I translated into the Luxembourg Tech School model, which is project-based.
So that's right. So I guess when you're teaching is like evening classes and weekend classes then?
Kind of, but it's not only me. We are a team at the moment. If we include the school teachers like John, we are close to 16 people. So it's not only about
me. No. I'm just getting into your background. We haven't got onto tech school yet. For now, I'm just really keen to so we can learn a bit about you, Sergio. So
For myself, I try to be as busy as possible. So I basically have like four life at the same time because I also heavily in a sport. So that's also, I make sure I train rock climbing 5 times per week. So it's quite an active life, but it's also fun.
Sure. So where did the idea come to tech school? Because obviously there's a lot of, coding programs for students and a few other things. Like what did you see was like different about, what was out there in terms of what you wanted to do?
Well, I in the industry, I see more and more the need for leaders. In the digital domain, people that can solve problems with technology. And coding is just a tool, okay? So for us, it's more about teaching with the context, how the technology can be used and solve problems with technology. So we clearly make clear to everybody that we are not a coding school. We are more a digital school that promotes the solving problems. And of course, we do coding, but this is just one aspect.
Sure. I mean, I'm really of the opinion that like everyone should learn some coding because it's difficult. I mean, I did programming in my early in my career, and I really think that unless you can learn to code on a basic level, I think it's very hard to really have a good understanding of technology. I mean, some people disagree with me on this. I mean, some people think you don't need to code. I don't think you need to be an amazing programmer, but I really believe like you need at some level to understand. To understand it a bit like how it's structured in terms of also like how a language is structured. I don't know how you feel about that.
The problem is the way we traditionally teach it. That's in my opinion where we lose many people that have a lot of potential because we start with the basic coding, if, for, then, loops, and most of the brains are not wired for that. So you start losing people very quickly, okay? And they are not really learning or having fun or enjoying the particular subject. So our idea, my idea is different. We try to put a context, something that you're familiar with. And for example, we start with gaming. So people know what is a game, most likely they play games. So it's all about building a game. It's not about coding. Of course you need coding, but the coding becomes as an element to the whole creation.
Yeah, and I think some of the stuff like, Scratch and some of these, a lot of these graphical-based ways to teach programming are a good way to get over that kind of, difficulty people have if you jump straight into just writing lines of code,
Yeah, actually, that is my own story. I learned very early on my time at 12 years old, and I learned with Logo programming, And although I learned in parallel assembler, which is a little bit crazy, but I learned in this graphical way, moving this turtle left and right and drawing. And then you start having the logic, repeat instructions and so on. And then you realize that you can do things, that you can be creative with coding. So the story behind our approach or my approach is that one, is that you use it as a tool to create and not just coding for I don't know what reason. So the context is very important when you teach coding.
Sure. And so, Dan, what's really interesting is when the kids come in, many of them have never coded. They know nothing about coding. But when they walk out after the, I forget, is it 11, 12 weeks?
Yeah, 3 months.
Three months, they have an understanding. So they use Stencil and Unity, And the kids are doing graphics. Some kids are actually not coding. They're just making sure everybody's talking to each other and they're getting things done. Yeah. So what I really found interesting being part of this process was that the kids come with nothing and we never really talk about coding. We're talking about project management, the game design, what's a good story, pitching, how can you get your idea across, how can you get an idea across that other people are going to buy in and support you. So I think that's that approach for me was very interesting and you really could see the engagement, especially kids that might, you know, not think of coding as their thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, it's that some kids like naturally gravitated to kind of more of a project management or like a business analyst type role. It's interesting that that happened if you let it kind of happen naturally.
Yeah, and in the future, actually in the present, we need different skills, different profiles, and we try to make sure that at least they touch different technologies and different tools and coding to realize what they like and what they are good at. And then they can decide later on where their careers and professional life can take it on. But at least they have the exposure. So for us, it's also a lot about exposure to different business contexts and different technologies.
Sure. Great. So how did you get started? Like practically, how did you actually start the school then?
Well, it's very simple. Huh? You put the idea in a bunch of slides. And you use your network that you have with the government for other reasons, and you tell your story. You pitch your project and with the motivation. I mean, people knew that I really wanted to do it and I want to solve a problem and help kids, teenagers to develop around technology and use technology. So the first start is that you need to be convincing on your idea. And the second thing is that you need to make a scenario. The starting scenario should be affordable. Okay, so we started with a pilot. You know, no big output.
Did you run it yourself? Like the three? Did you start off as a 3-month program and you just run it yourself? The first one? Is that how you did it?
I built the first gaming model myself. I tried at home with my kids before delivering to other kids. Bring two former students of mine from the university as part of the original team to build LTS. And the Luxembourg Tech School, we call it LTS, by the way, for short. And I deliver courses for the first 3 years. We are in the fourth year. It's just now I don't have the time anymore. You cannot create an idea if you are not delivering yourself.
Yeah, no, I definitely try to do it. Anything new I get into, I try to do it myself in the beginning for sure. Well, so how did it go with you, John? Like, so they came in and did multiple, like one session a week, or is it planned something like that?
So basically, there are these different modules. There are three, and we have 57 kids from all kinds of different high schools in the region where we are, in the city of Luxembourg. We have a couple from France and Belgium that come in, and they all come in. We do a couple introduction sessions, and then every kid comes up with a story, and they pitch their story, and then all the kids walk around and we vote on it, and the kids that get the most vote then kids gravitate to that one, and then they start working on the project. So it's very organic. These kids, many of them don't know each other. Some are more mother tongue French, Luxembourgish, you name it, but English is the language of instruction and English is the language of communication. And the coaches are from Spain, we have from Mexico, from two of us are actually from Switzerland. So it's a very mixed bag, and the kids basically work on their own, and they have a very clear set of criterias and outputs that they have to deliver, and we make sure that they're doing it. We help them, we coach them. There are people that are more focused on the programming. I worked a lot on the presentation skills and the pitching and the dynamics, just, you know, the personalities sometimes don't get along. People don't show up, and we want to make sure, you know, that they're working. And what's amazing is kids were sick and they had WhatsApp groups. We had a girl that was in London on a theater trip, and that Friday she was calling in and she was giving design ideas while the other kid was doing the graphics. So it's very dynamic. What is amazing is how organically this happens. And kids just love to be empowered. And they are in control. They make the decisions. And that in itself really fuels this. And that's what I think they don't get in school.
What I discovered a few years ago, and that's one of the secrets what John mentioned, is that when you are giving a project-based class, traditionally we tend to tell them in what to do, which project or which problem to solve. And I flipped that 100% by basically asking the full class, well, in the first class or the second class, you tell me what you want to do, which problem you want to solve. And then we do this open voting, and basically they say, they are telling you, I want to work on this. And then you say, yeah, okay, go ahead, you know? So the commitment there and the motivation is 300% because you are working in what you think you should be working. And then you just help them to make sure that they get an output.
It's a similar concept. I don't know if you've heard of these. They've got different names, but these things like often called like startup weekends. I was involved in one actually where a bunch of people get together. I think I did this like 7 years ago, and you get together over a weekend and you pick a project and you actually work on it a weekend and actually try to launch something. It's like really interesting. We actually did launch an app, which may I should check it, may even still be used. It was a free one, but it was really, I mean, that was different because that was just like a sprint, like a one-off activity, but a lot of similar elements to how you said in terms of like, you know, letting a lot of fluidity on designing the team, what we did and some guidance from the people organizing it.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. We also do this to the extreme. And at the end of the full year, after the three models, we do 24 hours or 21 hours. Hackathon is in 2 days because we prefer people to go home and sleep. And basically there they have to build or come with new ideas and build new products, running prototypes in less than 20-21 hours and pitch for prizes.
It's amazing. There's a lot of evidence that's a really successful model. I know Facebook do this regularly. They have 24-hour hackathons. I think it's 24 hours, something like that. And a lot of their features have actually come out of these hackathons, a lot of the features that are in the regular Facebook.
Yeah, it's pure innovation because you put a group of minds that are being prepared to produce ideas and to code and build and design and pitch them. And of course, you get good ideas out of that, but also prototype. So it's not so you don't get just a PowerPoint. You get a piece of code running.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that was really interesting is everything is done from scratch. So the graphics, the story, the sound, everything that kids generate on their own. And what's amazing is all these kids are in their ages 15 to 18. So they have exams, they have sport commitments, they have personal commitments, and they just keep showing up. I would have expected more chasing them down, say, hey, make sure you came. We really very little absences. And then the commitment and just the energy, because they're in control. This is their baby.
Definitely. And so how many kind of cohorts have run through this so far?
We're in the fourth now. We started, the pilot was originally about 20 students. When we started the pilot, we also got a lot of pressure to get more students. So I had to agree on day one to run two groups, actually. So the original cohort was 32. And now we are in the order of 100 in total. We try not to grow more because then logistics is difficult in the country, distances, transport. We start losing quality as we grow. So what we are exploring now is more reaching younger students to give them the starting point, so then they can go through our program, which is is demanding. We are telling, as John is telling you, that they have busy lives. But we are asking them a lot. We want them to have running games in 3 months on top of their normal life. Yeah. So this is very demanding. We know that.
Sergio, why did you not, when you pitched the government, say, hey, let me do this within the school curriculum?
Okay, so one of the ideas was to have professional freedom. So I'm not sure the content I teach today should be the content I teach tomorrow. So we have the freedom to change every year, and we do that. Actually, we are starting the model of big data, and we have rebuilt it completely. So the model that John is going to experience now is completely brand new. It has nothing to do with the big data model we did 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago. So that is the advantage I have, because we decided to be in between, not outside the educational system, but not inside, to have this possibility to bring our experience from the industry. Half of the coaches come from the industry. They are working full time in different places. So they bring the real life requirements and knowledge, the type of skills and people they need to the class.
Great. Now, I'm thinking like if someone, because people listen to this podcast from all over the world, like if somebody was thinking to run a similar program at their school or maybe at a group of schools somewhere, is there any, like, have you got any resources that are open source or on your website that they could use to help them kind of build a similar program?
I mean, we are open to discuss. We didn't want it to open the content and just hanging there and don't know if it's really used or not. I mean, we're a nonprofit, so there is no issue to open any of our approaches. But we wanted to make sure that people learn from the approach, and you need to have a little bit of training. So what we do in the more scale here in Luxembourg is we have new coaches running existing coaches every year. So that's the trick. We don't run any training for coaches. They join existing running coaches, and then we incorporate it, you know, naturally, organically to the team. And find where are their skills, their knowledge, and we help them to become a coach by just basically doing and learning around us.
So that's the experience of Carolina and I. We came in, we are not the main coaches, but we have somebody that's focused on programming, and then Sarah's that's a lead coach. And then we're kind of, as we're working with the kids, we're also learning from them, you know, strategies and ways to address different situations. So it's really kind of an apprenticeship type of model where every time I'm going in, I'm learning as I'm teaching at the same time. And I'm learning from Sarah and Christoph, and Carolina is doing the same with her, with Raphael and some of the other peoples. So I think that model is very powerful because you really come not knowing anything, but you're learning immediately. And the kids get to see that. I think that's what they like seeing, because I often tell the kids, you know, I actually don't code, but Christoph does. But I think this idea. And so they see that flexibility and that ability to tap into different resources on the go to actually move forward.
Definitely. Now, so just if I'm thinking here, like somebody listened to this, maybe they'd like to run this, like something like this, like a small scale at their own school, you know, so they want to run maybe a program, getting kids, not just coding, but, you know, working on technical projects. Like, can you give like a few, like just high level tips for someone who's just going to run like a small version of this? Like how would you recommend they went about starting kind of a program? Like even if it was just an after school club or something very small.
Yeah, the first thing is that he or she needs to have an interest to learn something themselves. Because a lot of what we do ourselves is because we have ourselves the need to learn the particular subject.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is the starting point. You need to have the curiosity and the need as a coach of learning yourself. That is the number one. And then you pick the subject you want to learn. You know, I did the coding, the original coding module, because I said, well, I don't know how to build code games with the new game engines, you know, and all coders, so I hard code everything. So I had this curiosity of playing with some of the engines and see how I can make a crash course. That's how we call it. So we have these crash courses that we can share where people can kickstart a particular piece of technology, and then you put the people in projects. So a small entity needs to pick the subject they want to teach to learn, and then a crash course, a small content to guide a group of students for the first, you know, 3-4 sessions need to be built, and then you need to organize them to create something around that technology or business domain.
So I guess someone running this, they need to have one person. I mean, presuming, like, do you think, like, if you're thinking of like outcomes, like what would you like as an outcome? Like, you think a game is a good place to start? I mean, do you ever have people who want to say, we want to create an app or some software that's not a game? Or do you focus on kind of games as your output?
It depends on the age range, okay? So if we're talking a high school, definite gaming is a must, because the advantage of gaming is multi-skill. So when you put the teams together, you need all kinds of skills. You need graphic design, you need story, people building the storyline, the storyboard, game dynamics, music, coding, okay, pitching, and so on. So it's fantastic because it's a multi-skill. So you can have different kids coming together and share different knowledge and activities. So this is why gaming is so powerful. Now, if you're looking for older people, maybe, yes, building a chatbot or an app is potentially the scenario, okay? But again, what is the context you want to solve? It's not about building an app for what? So this is why I like gaming, because gaming is about having fun, you know, having fun or learning, depends on the approach of the game. So that's what you need to find. It's not about the technology, it's about which problem you want to solve with the technology, and then you can inject the technology.
I think the other thing, if you're gonna do this in the school, and I really looked at it, and with Sergio we talked, and one of the limitations of the school, you have a schedule. People want assessment, and they're just a lot of, and these are all very good things that schools do. They're essential. That's what school's about, and we really need that to happen. But I think the open organicness and kind of the lack of definition sometimes is a challenge to put that into a regular school curriculum. And I think what we've noticed and from our cohort is that it's so different from their day. And I think for them, they enjoy that. It's not that one is better than the other. No. It's just a different approach. And I think that kind of approach that LTS Luxembourg Tech School takes, it works better where you really don't have the parameters of a school schedule, school assessment, and a timetable that kind of limit to what you can do. This is really open-ended. Nobody tells LTS what to do. It's their own independent curriculum.
Great. And in terms of logistics, the students meet once a week for like roughly 3 months. Is that kind of how it works? And they can work as much or as little as they want on it in the meantime?
Actually, at the beginning we had it one per week, and then two times every week, every month, an additional class. So it was like six sessions per month, but it was too much, okay? Because as John says, and especially here in the Luxembourg system, it's crazy the amount of school hours they have. So we have to reduce that, and also to give them time to mature the ideas and to think and to do other things in life. So we do basically like a 1 hour and a half, or depends on the school. There are small variations, 10 more minutes plus or minus. So that moment when they get together is to either learn a particular business or tech, or to put order on the projects and try to get the necessary coaching to keep going. Now, one secret is that this one session is fundamental because it gives you what I call rhythm. So a project needs a rhythm. So if you are not checking regular where you are and what is missing and what you need to do and where is the progress, you don't make progress. So that is what also the class does. It gives the rhythm while they are building the projects.
And a lot of kids, as you know, because there was a pitch day that we just had last Saturday. So definitely as we get closer to the point, you suddenly notice that they're working much more. They're late nights and they themselves suddenly up the ante because they understand this pitch day is very big. They're pitching in front of industry people, in front of a big audience. There must have been about 100 of us listening and participating all day. So that, I think, is just self-perpetuated. They suddenly realize the ante is really, they generate those extra workflows and they self-manage. It's not like we say, did you check in with each other? That's just up to them, but they do, because we see the evidence as the kids start delivering and meeting those criterias as they move forward.
Sure. And John, the program at your school, what was the outcome? What kind of game did they make in the end?
So it's not a program in our school. We actually are just supporting LTS, and we've come together.
Oh, so yeah. I know you were coach, so I misunderstood. I thought you were actually having meetups in your school. So the meetups are elsewhere.
So we rotate between three schools. So we just finished the game design at ISL, at the International School of Luxembourg, and we provided three rooms, and the whole coaches and all the kids came here. We're today moving to another school. It's called Lycée Athénée, which is a Luxembourg IB school. So all the kids and all the program will go and do the second module there. So it's not about it being school specific. The schools basically provide the resources, the room, the Wi-Fi, and of course, if you're involved, the coaches.
So actually the original idea was not to go on one school, is to try to get kids that were interested in learning. And then you use the power if there are a group of schools close by in terms of logistics. Then we ask them, okay, tell us which students is interesting, and then we put them together. And that was also very appreciated by the students because the kids, they like to meet other people.
Got it.
I was surprised by that, but that is the feedback. It was not originally planned, that portion, but they say, oh, we love to meet other kids from other schools just close by.
No, that's the social part of any. You know, I mean, I'm getting more involved in esports clubs and schools now, you know, and that's the thing people underestimate about esports tournaments and clubs and teams is the social aspect is probably the most important aspect of it, you know, the real life social aspect of it.
And the other idea is also when we are in a school, other kids learn about our program, because you probably believe that everybody knows our program, not necessarily, okay? So the reason also to move around different schools is that we have the opportunity to be there, you know, for 3 months plus or minus, and then people know, we make noise, we are around, we talked about it, and that also creates some energy in the particular school.
Got it. Well, guys, I think we're more or less up to the time we've got. It was really interesting, Sergio, hearing about this. Where can people find out more about Tech School?
Well, it's very simple. It's www.techschool.lu, LU for Luxembourg.
Got it. And anything else you'd like to promote? Any other projects you're working on, or is that best people go and check out that website?
Well, I think it's best to check the website. We started with a year program. After 2 years, it's 2 years program. And now we are trying to have a third year program, which will be actually the first year program to try to engage younger kids.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Thanks a lot as well, John, for your time. And the best of luck, Sergio, with the project.
Thank you.